The Black Veil, loosely adapted by Bart Meehan from the story by Charles Dickens. Performed by Elaine Noon, Peter Holland and Penny Hunt. Directed by Tony Turner.
An awful night, sir. Would you like some more tea?
No, I'm fine, Alice. The fire has warmed my bones nicely.
You really shouldn't have been out on a day like this.
A doctor's lot, I'm afraid. People don't only get sick when the sun shines.
I wonder it is not you who's sick. You were soaked through and through when you got home.
The trials a young doctor must face if he wants a successful practice. I don't have enough patience to take the luxury of sitting in front of the fire when there's a little rain.
Oh, a little rain. If any more of it falls, there'll be an arc on I Street. Mind you, the state of the city these days, it'd be no surprise if the Almighty sent another flood. There's no shortage of thieves and murderers waiting in the shadows for a poor woman making her way home.
It would be a brave thief who took you on, Alice.
True enough. I've never been predisposed to having a mild character, as the late Mr. Brown found out on those occasions he came home full of ale and bad manners. Still, there is villainy in the city of a sort I've not seen in all my years.
We live in hard times, and they're bound to drive men to do desperate things.
Oh, you're too quick to forgive, sir. But I expect it's the natural compassion that comes with your profession. As for me, I'm happy every time the hangman's rope is stretched. Now, who would that be at this time?
The price I pay for living in the surgery, Alice. Quick, don't let them get away. The rent is due.
I'd like to see the doctor.
Do you have an appointment?
Do I need one?
Well, no, I suppose not. All right, I'll take you through to the surgery.
Who is it?
A woman.
I suppose there was half a chance it would be. Can you provide some more detail?
Well, she's an odd one. She's as tall as you and stands perfectly still. Like a statue in the doorway she was. Not even flinching in the rain. And she's dressed like she's in mourning.
What?
She's wearing a thick black veil round her face. You can only see her eyes. As I said, she's an odd one. Frankly, I'd have turned her away if it had been my decision to make.
Beggars can't be choosers, Alice. And if we don't secure some new patients, then begging on a street corner may well be in my future. I'd better not keep her waiting. Good evening.
You're the doctor. You're quite young.
An unfortunate product of my birth. However, I can assure you I am fully qualified. And unlike some of my older colleagues, I won't doze off during our consultation. You're very wet.
Yes.
Here, please take a seat by the fire. Now, what can I do for you? Mrs. Well, yes. Let's start with the obvious. Are you sick?
I am.
Perhaps some more detail.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. It's just that I'm not used to confiding in others, even doctors.
I can assure you everything we discuss will remain confidential.
Thank you. I'm ill. Very ill. But not in body.
In mind, then?
Yes.
You have dark thoughts?
I suppose you could call them that.
Perhaps you are suffering from melancholy. I could prescribe some morphia, but there is some excellent research that suggests frequent showers, followed by drying yourself with a rough flannel towel, improves circulation and lifts the spirits.
It's not for myself I've come to see you. God knows, I would not come out on a night like this for an ailment of my own. No, I'm seeking your help for someone else. I expect I'm mad to ask, but what else can I do?
I'm sorry, but you have me confused. You've come here on behalf of your husband? Is it he who needs my assistance?
I suspect the time for any meaningful assistance has long passed. But the thought of laying him in his grave without at least some last attempt makes my blood run cold.
You mean he's close to death? Good Lord, why have you left it so late? Surely you've consulted a doctor before this.
It would have been useless before, just as it is useless now. Still, what sort of woman would I be if I didn't try? That's why I'm here. I came to you because of your youth, Doctor. The elderly of your profession are fixed in their ways and would surely dismiss me. I'm hoping that one as young as you has access to all the miracles of modern science and wouldn't hesitate to use them.
Medicine cannot beat the Reaper, madam. But rest assured, I've committed my life to wrestling with him.
That's all I can hope for, then.
You are ill. Here, take some water.
Thank you.
You have a fever. I'm not surprised, having been out on a night like this. And there is tiredness in your voice.
I'm not a young woman anymore.
It is not that. I sense you are fatigued by what you have had to endure. But rest assured, I will help you. Now, please, tell me what disease the patient has.
It doesn't matter. He'll be beyond assistance tomorrow.
Then I will see him tonight.
You cannot.
Madam, you've confused me since the moment we met. You've come to my surgery for a consultation on the health of another, and then when my help is offered, you say it will be of no use.
You may see him tomorrow.
But this person is dying tonight. My assistance may be of use if we go now.
It will not.
Well, surely that is for me to decide. I am the doctor.
All you were taught at university will not help in this case. The die is cast.
So what was the purpose of your visit tonight, if my profession is of no use?
Oh, God help me. How can I hope a stranger will understand when I barely do myself? You'll not see him then, sir?
Please calm yourself, madam. I can find you something stronger than water if it would help.
No. I'm sorry. You must surely think I'm mad. I would not blame you if you've chosen not to see him.
I didn't say that. But why you would want me to visit tomorrow when you say he's in desperate need tonight, I cannot fathom. I'm a doctor, madam, not an undertaker. My role is to cure, not to measure.
That's as it has to be.
You realise that if your premonition of imminent demise proves true, then a fearful responsibility will rest with you.
Whatever responsibility rests with me, I'm content to bear and ready to answer. I assure you that you'll bear none. Will you come tomorrow morning at 9?
I will. However, I will give you some instructions to care for him through the night.
I cannot.
Surely you wish to at least make him comfortable in the final hours?
He's not in my charge.
I don't understand. It is your husband we're discussing.
It is not.
Then who?
I'll leave the address with your maid.
I've let her out, sir. She left this. It's an address in Walworth.
Leave it on the table.
Dreadful place, full of desperate sorts. I hope you're not thinking of going there.
Yes, tomorrow morning. Alice, Do you believe people can predict death?
I do, sir. I had an old aunt who told us she was going to die and even picked the hour. And that night, the mantel clock stopped right on the dot of 11. And sure enough, she took her last breath.
That's it. I have heard of those who predicted their own demise, and the scientist in me says it is possible. Once we've lost the will, life can quickly drain away. But to predict the death of others, how can that be?
I expect it's possible if you have an hand in it.
That's what concerns me. Tell me, Alice, what was your impression of her?
As I said, she's an odd one. Dressed like that, with her eyes staring over that veil. It gives you a queer feeling.
Do you think her capable of violence?
Well, I expect anyone is capable, sir, but she didn't strike me as a villain.
I formed a similar view, but still, I face a dilemma. It's possible that I could save a life if I attend that address tonight, yet I'm under instruction to delay my visit until the morning.
Surely you are not considering going out in a night like this, sir, and to Walford?
I have considered it. I have been considering nothing else since she left. What is my obligation to a patient I have not seen? A patient who may be no more than the product of a fevered mind. No, I will not go out tonight, Alice, but I will pray I've made the right decision.
You came.
Did you doubt it?
I feared you might dismiss my story as the ravings of a madwoman.
I confess that thought was not far from mind. Am I in time?
I'll take you to him. There. He's on the bed.
Why is the room dark? I can barely... This is a young man.
Yes. He's my son.
He's dead.
Oh, please don't say so, sir. I can't bear it. I've read that men have been brought back to life after being given up for lost.
It is true there are rare cases where all physical signs suggest death, but within there is still a spark of life.
Who's to say this is not one of those? Don't let him lie here, sir, without one effort to save him. This very moment life may be passing away. Do try, sir. Do. For heaven's sake.
I'm sorry, but it is of no use. I mean, he is already stiff. And even in this gloom, it's clear his neck...
What are you doing?
Drawing back the curtain so I can see more clearly.
Please don't. I darkened the room so we could not see what was done to him.
It is what has been done to him I wish to see. There. The sunlight reveals all. Violence has been done here.
Oh, my boy. My poor boy.
Has this man been murdered?
He has. Pitilessly. Inhumanely murdered.
By whom?
Look at the butcher's marks and then ask me.
His neck has been broken. That is clear. And there are deep marks cut into the skin. My God, this man has been hanged.
Yes, before dawn, so he'd not see the light of another day. The cruelty of it all, making him climb the gallows steps, putting the rope around his neck and hood over his head, so all he sees is darkness. My son.
You look quite faint. Please, sit here before you fall. Is this one of the men they hanged this morning?
It is. Hanged and then delivered to his mother for her disposition. I'm not claiming he was innocent, sir. Though he told the judge it was an accident. An unfortunate strike at the end of a drunk's argument. No. There was a price to be paid for that foolishness, but his life? He was a boy, barely 20 years old. Surely that gave him enough years to repay the debt. I tried after his father left us. I took in lodgers and did washing, whatever brought in a shilling. I denied myself so he could have all he wanted. But it was no use. He ignored his mother's sacrifices for the easy life of the streets. He stole, sir, and he drank. He taunted passing gentlemen and was easily goaded into a brawl. A temper he had, and that was his undoing.
I imagine there are many mothers with similar stories.
But not so many where the story ends with their only boy dangling at the end of a rope. I had hoped there may be some chance if I took his body straight away. Some miracle of science.
There is only one healer with the power to resurrect the truly dead.
And he has forsaken me. Thank you for coming, Doctor. I'm sure you had your doubts after hearing the ravings of a madwoman.
What will you do now?
What can I do but mourn?
I could leave you something to help you sleep and perhaps come back tomorrow.
You're very kind. But there's no need. I'll sit here for now, holding his hand. It's grown so cold. There's something you can do for me before you go, Doctor.
Of course. Anything.
Please pull the curtains shut. I find there is some comfort in darkness.